Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, let's go. My name is Scott McKenzie. Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. I am so glad that you are here, you industrial juggernaut. You know, this is where the industrial professionals come to talk. This is the largest, and I mean the largest podcast that is focused on you, the industrial professional, and the industrial market. Bigger than the galaxy. I say the universe. It is the biggest in the universe. So thank you very much for joining. We're going to have a great conversation because we're going to be talking to a gentleman by the name of Mark Board. And he's with Infor, and we're going to be talking about the future. So stay tuned. We're ready to get going. Hey, Mark. How you doing?
I'm good, Scott.
How about that? Is that?
Yeah, it's all right. You got so much energy there.
Well, that's right.
Want to go have another cup
and coffee. If you're out there on the video, if you're looking at it on the video, you can tell that I'm bald because the glare from the lights are just shining off my forehead, and my forehead goes all the way back to my back of the neck. But it is. I'm just not going to have that hairband. I'm just not going to have it. Just between you and me, it's just not going to happen. So how you doing? Well, and thank you. We're here in Alpharetta right now in their beautiful corporate room, because this is what podcasts can do. We can go pretty much anywhere and be able to do this with a level of confidence that is pretty surprising. Yeah. And once again, I got you off on that one there, Mark.
You did, yes.
You're welcome. So anyway, yeah, we're broadcasting from Infor in Alpharetta, and we're going to be talking right now, and specifically, we're going to be talking about Infor EAM and the utility side, and that's what you're all about. So for the listeners in the industrial market, industrial talk market, give us a little background on who you are and why you're so spectacular there.
Yeah, well, so I've been doing, you mentioned EAM for a long, long time, which is one of the things we're doing. I've been doing this for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great place to be, just asset management across a variety of marketplaces, right?
Right.
So today, what's most exciting for us is the way that it's now making its way into outside of just pure industrial places and more into utilities and oil and gas and some of the other industries that have typically haven't done a lot.
Now, how long have you been with Infor?
I've been with Infor almost 8 years.
8 years?
Yes.
Where'd you come from?
I came from a company called Mincom.
See, that's right.
That's exactly
right. That's an Indus passport company.
That's exactly. Yes, exactly.
Very good.
It's kind of funny because Mincom really stood for mining for so long, but really heavy assets and all of that.
Yeah.
They branched into a lot of different things.
Yeah, and I think at that time when I was implementing the we tried to deploy it in a utility setting, but there was the way it was structured as a whole, the system as a whole, it was, you really had to sort of shoehorn it on in some way, shape, or form into a utility.
Yeah, it does really well when you're talking about maybe generation and vertical assets. It gets
yes.
a little more difficult when you start talking about linear assets.
Yes, and we were deploying it in a transmission environment.
Right, exactly.
Yes, Wow. Where were you when we were doing this? Because I'll tell you right now, that's when I had a lot of hair, and after that deployment, I just started to go bald. So.
Well, we weren't. We probably shouldn't have been deploying into that environment, technically, right?
So right.
They still had a ways to go.
It's okay. But now, I mean, systems in general, technology in general, recognizes that there's a level of flexibility that's been brought in to just systems in general. Because all of a sudden, in the case of that particular system, it's hard. But now systems are far more flexible to be able to say, oh, yeah, we can do that. We've got a level of functionality that will suit, and we can modify it, and we don't have to have really any,
Absolutely. Well, the technology's come a long, long way. If you think about it, it lends itself really to these industries. Before, you had to run bunch of the trucks and crews out into the field. It costs a lot of money. They take paper in and out. So now, with the proliferation of the internet and mobile devices, we're shoving all of that work right out to the field and bring that stuff
to
real time.
Huge. And we were talking offline here, and what always fascinates me is is technology. It just seems like something took place. Somebody was sitting in a big conference room, like this special conference room, and said, you know what? What if we did it this way and it was just like that? Things just started to change rapidly. Technology started to really begin to evolve. And it's, whether you like it or not, listen out there, you industrial professional, whether you like it or not, technology is your best friend. It might not look like your best friend. It is your best friend. And it's only going to get easier, better, more user-friendly.
Yeah, the adoption's coming a long, long way.
Yes.
Of course, the technology has, too. Everyone's got an iPhone now, right? I mean, before,
they were not.
It was flip phones or let me go put a quarter somewhere or find a phone. And so today, people are much more comfortable with it, and it's really... And also the stability and the reliability is another thing, too. For years, people tried to use some of these devices, you know, the old brick phone and some of the other stuff out in the field. And today, it's reliable. You've got a network of internet that allows you to upload and download,
right,
and just kind of makes it practical.
It always fascinates me today. If you travel, if you go into a bunch of airports, you always see those special areas where there used to be phones.
Yeah, exactly.
And now there's nothing, and it's a rough section of the town when you go into those airports.
Funny.
It's like, what's over there, Ben?
We went back to I took my kids back to my mother-in-law's, and they had a phone sitting there, old-timey hooked to the wall. My kids were like, what is that, Dad?
and then you realize, wow, I'm old. That's right.
Yeah, well.
I went back to visit my mom before she passed away, and not to bring the conversation down, it's okay, but she still had the rotary phones.
Well, exactly. And, that's what this was.
Yeah.
Like, what is this thing doing?
What is this thing, man? Yeah. It hurts my fingers when I hit that little stop thing. So let's dive in a little bit about what we're talking about here. And we sort of talked a little bit about the past, but what was the problem in the past? And then we're going to talk a little bit about where it stands today, what we're doing today, and what's really changing, and where do you see this technology juggernaut going? And then, of course, we're going to talk a little bit about challenges, because it's not all just, you know, balloons and bubble gum.
Yeah, it's funny that you asked that way, right? Because I don't think what was the problem. I don't think anyone saw that there was any problem. Everything was just rolling around fine, and they were doing the things the way that they
were
always done them, right? Especially in oil, gas, utility, because you put everything in the rate base, and as long as you can justify the cost, you put it in there.
That's right.
It's changed a lot. And so is the market. So people are now demanding more real-time information in any of these kinds of markets.
But what's driving that? What is the necessity? Because in the past, for me to get, let's say, financials, it wasn't uncommon for me to say, okay, 45 days later, I'm finally getting in, and oh my gosh, we've had a problem, but I have no time. There was a point when data was also all of a sudden, we can get that data. We can get it now. We can make tactical decisions today.
I think that's it. I mean, in the world at large, everything's faster. It's faster, faster, mm-hmm. faster. How do we get things? How do we get real time data? You know, half the time you get data in the manner that you just spoke of, it's dated. It's not any good, right? It's real time. You've got to be actionable data real time to be able to do things. Yeah, and it's happening everywhere. These are markets that are laggards if you really think about it. And so they've
and like utilities, oil and gas, energy, the big companies in those spaces.
Well, and I think those guys they spent billions of dollars on assets. So now they've got a legacy of investment that it's very hard to change once you get in play. So it's taken a while.
That's true.
To the point.
Because it's all embedded.
Mm-hmm.
It's all there. It's all in rate case.
Especially in our country, in North America. Some of the evolving countries that have money that are building it, they're building brand new things, and you can see.
So it's more greenfield as opposed to
existing. You wouldn't
brownfield.
Build it the way we built it if you were building it today.
That's true.
You'd use the technology available to you.
So what was driving? So today there is a huge push, and a desire, and a drive to get information so that I can make decisions right now.
Yep.
And that's key. Well, how do you implement? How do you do that? What technology exists out there so that I can get that?
Well, we're finding everything. All the work's being pushed to the field. So mobile is huge for us. And all the technology that's available today, sending drones out to do inspections and kind of run up and down the pipelines and bring that data back real time, taking pictures of inspections of, you know, big equipment that you couldn't do. You had to send a guy up a ladder to do different things. The technology is now available, and you didn't have it before, I think.
And even the price point.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's not some sort of big old CapEx that you're saying, okay, we want to buy a drone, and we want that drone to be able to go this distance.
Isn't that amazing? So we do healthcare in a lot of different places for asset management, and it used to be, I mean, in some places we've put tags and RFID devices on doctors and patients and equipment to make sure they're all in the right place. When it was the first time we did the pilot, it was a number of years back. It cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. Today, you can buy the chips to put on to follow any kind of an asset, from these big equipment to soup cans and food for pennies.
I think two drones. I went to a local electronics store. I bought two drones. They were about the size of this, which if you're looking out on the video, 3 inches maybe. And I spent a grand total of $20 per.
Yeah.
And they were fantastic. I mean, it's just this little dinky thing. It was fantastic. And I could tell, my son gets tired of me telling him. I said, can you believe, what if this was a real, like a serious drone, what you could do?
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, and they take such great pictures, the high def resolution that comes back directly to, back to some central place for processing or immediately taking a look on the computers or whatever it is.
And the cameras that can be on the drones, they're not just, it's not just high. Now, help me understand. So I've got a drone. I've got this pipeline that needs to be patrolled. In the past, because I did patrol work in the utility companies, right. you're in a truck and you're just driving and you're looking up and you're going, I guess that looks okay.
Right.
You know, the arm's still up there. But in that particular case, you could take the drones and they have that level of ability to be able to say, okay, I'm looking at this asset. And then I can, not just from a high def point of view, but I'll also be able to change what I see too. Like an infrared or any
absolutely.
Of the heat signature, any of that stuff.
Well, there's a lot of technology that's gone into it. I mean, number one, if you think about the way you used to do it in the truck, am I on the right place? And it's dirt roads here and all that. So the GPS systems, as everyone knows, you can't find a map anymore today. Everyone's using GPS. As people don't remember how they got places because they weren't paying attention. So today you can get out and a lot of, you bring up pipelines. Pipelines are just in the middle of nowhere.
Nowhere.
So you really didn't know where, when you did your inspection, was it exactly right or should it have been a couple of miles or feet?
That is an interesting, you're right. I lived that.
So that technology of being able to take either from a truck or a drone or whatever and know precisely where it is on the pipeline just it makes it even more valuable as you do these kinds of things.
Well, it also makes you real tactical in a sense that, okay, hey, out on this pipeline, we've got a seal, whatever. It looks like it's a problem. And so let's get a crew out there, take this seal. You're more effective in your repair approach because I saw it. It's right there. Grab this. You don't have to just sit there. And I think there's a problem out there.
Well, and false problems too, right? So you see something in the system, which you can, you've been able to tell for years and years and years. You send a drone out to see exactly what it is, and then you know which kind of crews to send out. And is it a break? Has someone done, what
right.
have they done? Right.
Right.
It's just amazing the difference, right?
And I love the fact that it's. I mean, it saves. It saves lives. There's a safety component there.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you're not caught off guard. There's not an environmental. It could be an environmental related, and this is a pipeline related, analogy. It could be an environmental related problem, and you prevent that from happening because you're saying, there it is.
Well, we're using IoT and geofencing and all of that to make sure.
I love the geofencing idea.
Like we can get it, especially with this big equipment. Right. We geofence to the point where if someone doesn't have the right credentials, they can't
that
get
is
some
so
of this,
cool.
They can't get some of these big pieces of equipment running.
See, that is so cool. When you get right down to it, that's pretty doggone cool stuff.
Yeah,
because being the guy that's been in many environments, sometimes there are people in there that don't deserve to be in there. You know what I'm talking about.
Well, exactly.
So I like that. And so with that said, I mean, this is today. Mm-hmm. This is stuff that can be deployed.
Oh, it is deployed
today. It's done.
Yeah.
And how do you keep up with the evolution of it? Because it it's always happening.
Yeah, we have.
I mean, it's fast.
Yeah, it's customers,
speed.
It's teams. It's we have large teams that do this, but there's our customers are kind of the ones that have always tried to drag us forward. Thankfully, today we were able to move in a lot more speed and quicker than we ever have before.
You have to.
Oh, yes, you do.
What always fascinates me is if you do not, especially in today, back then, it moved slow. You know, that phone, that rotary phone, it's been there in that operating room forever, and it's just nothing changed. But today, it's just like, hey, we just bought this drone today, man. Oh, wow, you should have waited till tomorrow because they came out with, you know, version 27, and that's it's right. Better, bigger, stronger.
Well, and it's a challenge. It's a challenge, but we, you know, it takes a lot of work to do it. I can tell you a story about it. I went with our SVP. We went out to a large customer that uses trucks. They monitor all their trucks, and it's all about maintenance, having these big fleets of trucks out. And so we went down. They said, we're having some problems with your mobile devices. They brought us. They had a conversation. I said, well, we'll come down and take a look and ride with the truck guys. So we did. Got in with the truck guys. We saw exactly how they did all the work. We came back, and we turned a lot of customization and products around really fast. But by the time we got back, there was a whole new set of them. And this was within a couple of weeks. It's just...
See, that's key. Because I would imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm my wife is over here, and she's my roadie, and she knows that I'm wrong quite frequently. But how do you deal with the pushback that I'm a company, and you come to me, and you say, hey, we've got this, you know, splashy, fancy solution that will make your life easier, but it's going to take you X amount of months to be able to deploy. That, to me, frustrates me. But you guys can deploy quickly.
We can.
That to me is big.
Especially for asset management. It's interesting that you bring up that point, because we do, in the past, we haven't really, everyone stays around in the technology area. They stay away from pilots and kind of those kinds of things.
Oh, yeah.
So we can have people up and running 20 minutes on systems that look like we're around these asset intensive industries because of the way that we do SaaS and we're all on the cloud today. So we could have you up and running.
But I want mine on premise.
We can do on premise too. But
you got to push back on that one. Please tell me you're pushing back on
that. Yeah,
don't
yeah,
do
yeah.
on premise.
Well, a lot of people still need to be able to do that. Sometimes they're still working through the capital.
FDA type stuff.
But
it's coming.
It's already here. It's already here. When the federal government, the Department of Defense, and folks like that go to SaaS, then you know, we're moving to SaaS.
Yeah,
local governments and counties, and
it makes complete sense. So my old hat says, okay, I've got an on-premise server, and I've got my solution on that server, and then I've got another upgrade here. Here comes the doggone disk, and we're ready to just sort of upgrade it, and there goes some time. But in a SaaS environment, you don't even see that.
Right. You just notice.
That pain point is gone.
Yeah, then you just notice that, hey, this works better than it did yesterday.
Where did that come from, man? I like that. That's fantastic.
I could take a picture today.
You got it surprise all the time.
Yeah,
I like
right.
the surprise.
It's like Christmas every morning.
So where do you see this going? I mean, this is, we've done things, and the technology, I love it. It's just fast. Where do you see it going? Will it ever stop doing that logarithmic curve where it just seems like it's going faster and into the stratosphere?
I don't know. It seems to me that it just continues to go. The more we learn, the more we find that we can use all of these pieces to do things, you know, your processes just better and better, just make things easier and more efficient.
See, that's just, God, that's cool stuff, you know? That's cool stuff. But what are the problems? What are the challenges that you are seeing today? Just FYI.
Well, to move people off, we're finding there's a lot of vendor integrated systems that we've got to think about as we roll them out. The biggest problem is the problem that we've always had, and that's customer adoption. How do you get them to embrace some change? Thankfully, we're getting some help because everyone now, as I mentioned earlier, you know, they're using mobile phones, and everyone likes to be able to interact in that way. And so, and people believe the internet's fast enough because, again, who can't live without the internet and connected to some of these other?
And I'm telling you right now, it's funny because there is a group of people, typically bald and old looking like me, who are very reluctant and resistant to the digital world. But it's not going away.
No, it's not.
Technology is just going to, you just either you embrace it or you can fight it and lose. But I highly recommend that you embrace it.
Right. It's kind of funny. I get, maybe you get the same thing too. I get my kids, so, they're upstairs going, sending me text. I'm like, I don't do text, right? Or it's on the weekend and they're like, oh, Dad, I'd FaceTime you. I'm like, hey, my phone is on my nightstand instead of, you know, in my pocket.
And then, of course, you text like this.
I don't even use two fingers.
I
just
do one thumb. I don't use two fingers, too.
I learned you could talk into that thing. You know that, right?
Yeah, I did. I do that, too. Yeah. But it's so funny. And you know, I think we'll eventually evolve into just people who are just down like this and hunched back over a period of time.
Well, even me, I get to the point where I'm like, hey, kids, that's kind of cool. When they said drop a pin to where my location is, or I, you know, to come pick them up or whatever I need to do. So
wow.
Even old folks like, and I include myself with you, like us can learn to do this stuff because it's becoming so easy. And it's just a part of what's happening.
All right. See, hear the music? That's pretty cool, huh? Uh-huh. That's how we just sort of segue into closing out this interview.
Okay.
I forgot to give you the heads up.
Well, there you go. I figured.
So there it is. It's like, oh gosh, content. I gotta segue out, but I didn't tell him about the segue out, so he's just gonna have to roll.
Hey, surprise.
Surprise. Well, thank you very much. All right, everybody, that was Mark Boards. He is a special guy with Infor. Thank you very much. This was a great conversation. I love the topic, and it just continues to grow. We're going to have follow-up conversations with you. Is that acceptable?
Oh, absolutely. Whenever you're ready.
Shame you into it.
Yeah.
How about that?
It's a lot of fun.
Thank you very much. And hey, you Industrial Talk listeners out there, stay tuned. We're going to wrap it up on the other side. So thank you very much for joining, and thank you once again for Infor and the wonderful people here. Especially, we got another one. Got another Infor coming up, so stay tuned. He's gonna be better than you.
Well, yeah.
You're gonna be better than him. All right, thank you. We'll be right back. As an industrial professional myself, I was always passionate about sales, marketing, branding, expanding the marketplace for my company. That's what the Industrial Talk platform is all about. It's about you, the industrial company, the industrial professional, and your legacy. Increasing sales, gaining greater exposure on what you do and how you and your company changes the world. Go out to industrialtalk.com. That's industrialtalk.com. Contact me. Let's have a conversation to see how we can work with you on improving your bottom line, and that you could be a part of an ever-growing network of industrial companies focused on expanding and growing and leaving a legacy. I hope to hear from you soon, and be safe out there. All right. Infor Nation, thank you very much for joining Industrial Talk Podcast. That was Mark Board. Now, in the interview, I said Mark Boards. Unacceptable on my part. I apologize for saying it with an S. It's Mark Board. And you know what? He's active out on LinkedIn. He's got amazing stat card there. So I highly recommend that you go out and you check him out. You connect with him. Because if you're looking at a system, if you're looking at investing in a solution, you know, you need to contact Mark because he's got mad skills. So reach out to him. What is it going to hurt you? Bring him in. Talk to him. I guarantee you, he's going to open up your way of thinking. So that's Mark Board with Infor. And once again, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you are here. We're going to have some more wonderful interviews coming up. So stay tuned. And thank you very much. And of course, be safe.